It's the first show of 2025, and you know what that means. We're going to do the 2024 wrap-up show, where we're going to take a look at the top most popular conspiracy theories, top episodes, biggest moments in pop culture, some personal highs, some personal lows, my favorite and least favorite films that I watched, and of course, the highly anticipated results of last year's predictions, as well as the 2025 predictions, which I think I'm getting a pretty good track record. So stick with me here. You're listening to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. My name is Isaac Weishaupt. Now, this is a pretty fun show. And I'm going to have some surprise little goodies here and there, little news updates, little tiny mini, analysis. I think that's a bit of a stretch. But anyway, I've been busy. Someone on the Patreon said, "Hey, you haven't put out a show since December 20th. I said, "No way." And I looked and I said, "Oh my gosh, you're absolutely right." But fret not, my friends. I'm coming out banging in January. I've got a ton of stuff, and I'm going to give you some updates on some shows you're going to see coming from me here soon. And what happened was, you know, that weird lull period, the dream period between Christmas and New Year's, you know, me and Josie was chilling. I watched five seasons of Peaky Blinders on Netflix. Well, next thing you know, I'm like, oh man, it's been a couple weeks. I was relaxed, though. It was nice. It was a nice chill period. My bad. I usually get one show a week out to you guys, but I'll make up for it in January. I got tons of shows coming out. I've actually been working. I wrote some Substack articles. I worked on my Twin Peaks Grey Lodge series, which I have completed almost entirely. I'll update you on that. I've been staying busy. Oh, and by the way, go subscribe to my Substack at Illuminati Watcher on the Substack. I got an article about the New Year's Day events that happened with the Cybertruck at Trump Hotel, as well as New Orleans. I found some really crazy, weird, synchronistic connections to, I mean, all kinds of stuff. Jay-Z and Beyonce and Drake and the Super Bowl. What does it all mean? I don't know. It could be, and in my analysis, I point to a show we did about the 1991 book called Generations that talks about the cycles of humanity. And I think that the powers that be could be trying to work with that sort of chaos magic element. So anyway, check it. I got so many links I got to put in the show notes today. Link, Substack article. Yeah, go subscribe to my Substack because I'm gonna try to hit that kind of hard this year once I get done with my Twin Peaks book. I started out blogging. I enjoy it. And as you know, I was a bad boy and I got in trouble. I get in trouble all the time. So I had to shut my blog down, but I'm going to throw it on Substack. Let them deal with it. So go find me on Substack, subscribe, and let's see if we can make the golden age of Illuminati Watcher blog happen again. Now, where should we start? We got so much to do. Let's start with top pop culture and conspiracy moments. You know, in 2023, if you recall, big events with the UAP stuff. We had David Grush testifying, whistleblowing. David Lynch got divorced. The Sound of Freedom movie, the controversies of it. And my favorite was the Tiffany Gomez on the plane. That mother effer isn't real. Oh, by the way, I had a meeting with my podcast host. Long story short, it appears I've got some possible... And look, I'm a paranoid guy. I'm a conspiracy guy. It appears I've got some shadow ban of sorts. I'm not going to say the names of the platform in which I'm sort of... My listens have plummeted for some reason on one of the platforms. And I talked to my host and they were like, you know, maybe you got to be careful with the words you're saying. So... I'm going to try not to swearing. I know. I said, look, I'm going to start swearing because that's where I'm comfortable. But I got to start using the stupid terms. Unalive. You know, this is 1984. What are they called? Newspeak? Like, that's what we have to do now. So, because AI is the nanny bot. And I got to play the game. So, anyway. And I don't think that Tiffany Gomez, the one that's out there now, I don't think that's the same chick that was on the plane. But whatever. Maybe. Who knows? But in a weird parallel to 2023, in 2024, we had another viral sensation, a young lady that is now known as the Hawktua girl. A hilarious moment in pop culture. And then we all know she recently had the Hawktua crypto meme coin that people are saying she's in trouble for doing a pump and dump scheme. You know, the crypto world is a shady little world. That's why you gotta hook up with Copy My Crypto. James, he'll steer you down the right path. And he'll tell you, you know, that's why I love Copy My Crypto. I don't like it, I love it. And I love James McMahon. I've been listening to him because he's been a sponsor of the show for years. And I've been listening to his advice. I don't take all the advice, but for instance, there was a coin, I don't even remember when, this is probably 2 years ago, and he was like, full transparency, this is a high-risk item. This might go absolutely nowhere, and you might lose all your money. Like, he was very clear about it. He's like, this is a high-risk item. I don't recommend investing in this, but if you run a roll the dice, there's potential here. And I appreciate that. I appreciated that. And that's why in the world of crypto, there's a lot of shady crypto bros and pumps and dumps, and that's why you got to check out my sponsor. Links are always in the show notes on the free feed. Speaking of cryptos, Bitcoin finally crossed the coveted $100,000 mark. Crypto bros rejoicing everywhere. Myself included. I'm not a crypto bro because I've got my reservations about crypto, but I'm invested in it, and you know, there's elements about it I like and there's elements I don't like. But nonetheless, it's good for your boy. So let's get them cryptos pumping, and then I'm going to start dumping. Then I'm going to switch over to just ETF stocks. It's safe. It's low, what do you call it? Low risk, lower risk. Of course, lower gains too. I mean, the crypto market, you can get some monster gains that you'll never get in the stock market. Then in the world of hip hop, Drake and Kendrick Lamar had the rap battle. It's got to be the biggest rap battle in history. I don't know how many tracks they went back and forth on. I got to give it, you know, and you know me, I'm kind of a Drake stan. I think he's the most versatile, consistent artist. Not of our generation, but all time. Does that mean I condone his actions as a human being? No, he seems kind of like a scumbag. But that comes with wealth, right? But I got a hand, and I like Kendrick Lamar too. I prefer Drake's music over Kendrick Lamar's, but I got a hand to Kendrick Lamar. He won that one, I think. It seems like, I mean, he had the a track that was a number one banger for months. And the disses in there were pretty good. I mean, we'll never forget the probably A minor thing, right? That probably hurt. That probably hurt Drake. Another one no one ever talks about is the OVO, other vaginal option. I thought that was brutal. Also in hip-hop, Eminem finally embraced his Slim Shady alter ego roots again, something I've been campaigning for years. I listened to the album the day it came out. I was a little unimpressed. I was like, maybe he shouldn't have done that. But then as time went by, I was like, no, this is pretty good. The Houdini song, it grew on me, and I'm like, okay, yeah. That was the right call. I'm glad Eminem listened to me personally. David Lynch, sadly, confined to the house from emphysema. I think he smoked his whole life and caught up to him, so sad news there. Last year he got divorced. This year he's confined to the house. We had of course, the UAP, UFO sort of ordeal amplified, and in the last month of the year, we had this Tyson versus Jake Paul fight combined with the Joe Rogan, Donald Trump interview, and Cliff High had that 39-day prediction, and during that course of the 39 days is when we had all this drama about drones in New Jersey, which I don't know if we're ever going to get the answer on that. Oh, man. But that's to be expected, right? when you've got the powers that be who don't want to tell the masses things. They don't want to tell us because they don't know, which is probably the truth. And that looks weak, supposedly, just to say, hey, we don't know, which they kind of did, though. They kind of were like, hey, we don't know what it is. Or they do know what it is and they don't want to scare us because, you know, half of us are violent mouth breathers. Either angle, I kind of get, you know. I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying that's okay. I'm more of in the camp of, you tell me the truth about what you know and don't know, and I will be the one to handle myself accordingly. But we live in a country full of crazy people, so I also get that. Yeah, Mike Tyson fought Jake Paul, and like everything else in our entire world, seemed like an illusion. Seemed like a ritually staged event. No one's got any couth or integrity anymore. Everyone will sell out for the dollar. As much as I love Mike Tyson, I lost a ton of respect for him grifting this thing. And the reason I believe that is because of, we had all those promo videos. It made it look like he was in savage beast mode. Like he was ready to crush homeboy. And I was like, yes, this is what everybody wants. And when he got in the ring, he wasn't doing nothing like that. He was biting his glove like he was holding himself back or something. Something was weird about it. I don't know. It was terrible. But like, that's what you come to expect from celebrities anymore, right? Like you can't look up to half of these people because they're grifters, I guess. I don't know. I feel like I could have taken that Mike Tyson out. I could take a 60-year-old Mike Tyson out, apparently. Don't at me, bro, though. I don't want to test that because I'm going to guess he could still break some heads. But I do think there was some kind of payoff of sorts. Young Thug finally got out of jail. In 2023, we talked about his court trial because there was testimony about a goat being sacrificed, allegedly, through his YSL gang. And well, anyway, he's now out, and I think he's got a new album coming out already. Or he's got a feature with Lil Baby or something. Billionaires. Billionaires. In 2023, we had the imploding sub, and in 2024, we have the alleged Luigi Mangione, alleged shooter, assassinating homeboy Brian Thompson from United Health. And I did one or two episodes on this. Lots of conspiracies here. I mean, this is one of the biggest ones ever. And it feels like this is being staged on some level. And the theory there that I can get behind is that, like, first off, you can't trust anything online. On the internet, on social media, you can't trust anyone or anything. And I think that the intelligence agencies all have their spyware, Patriot Act, Bumble, Hive, Prism connection going on with all of these things. And now that they've got AI that can fuel through comments and things and metadata, this is where we're going to get in trouble as a society. And I believe that they could be scraping comments to see who's the most supportive of this idea of a revolution of violence against the elites. Why? Because it's the elites that are running the country, apparently. It's the oligarch. That's why I'm a Bernie bro. I doubled down on that. You know, I thought of, well, anyway, let's keep going. And the proof is that the oligarchs like Jeff Bezos and Amazon, which I like Amazon. So, like, out of all the oligarchs, he's my favorite, I think. They were pulling shirts. If you were trying to sell like free Luigi shirts, they would pull them right off of there. All the platforms. Why? I mean, I think the guy's innocent. I honestly do think free. I don't think that's the guy. I don't think that's the shooter. Even if it was, like, I don't know. Like, you're not going to see me sitting here defending CEOs. But, and Amazon's a great example because Jeff Bezos' grandfather, Lawrence Preston Guys, was one of the first employees at DARPA. So you can see there's already connections in there, right? All these secret squirrel programs and the oligarchs and the elites, they're kind of in bed together and they're funneling data and spying and doing all the surveillance to make sure that the gears are still getting greased in the right direction. The destruction of the middle class is what they want, and that's what they're getting. Which takes us to Elon Musk. Last year, I mentioned how I don't trust the new mainstream media is the alternative media. And it all sort of, and there are lots of alternative stream media folks are on X. And David Icke said this too. Like, this is an original idea. Like, David Icke, who's one of my red pill daddies, which I don't trust everything he says. He's got like Gnostic leanings that I don't buy into, but whatever, right? David Icke's been saying this too. He's been calling out all kinds of people. But yeah, this year, Elon renamed Twitter to X. And I don't know if you remember, back in January, he was promising to release the supposed Fauci files. I don't think those ever came out. So where are those at? And now he's the president. So we'll see what happens. Speaking of the president, President Donald Trump, and I'm joking, of course, kind of, but probably the biggest moment. Well, I think we're going to talk about this in the conspiracy section, of course. Hold that thought. But yeah, of course, this one blurs lines between pop culture and conspiracies is, you know, getting the pew-pew thing. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Whitney Cummings was on the CNN New Year's Eve ball, or whatever you call that. And she was saying a bunch of flagrant stuff to see if CNN would pull a plug on the show, and they didn't. She kept talking, and she said that this year the Boy Scouts changed their name to the Scouts, which I had to look that up. I didn't hear that. Sure enough. I mean, that's because I live in Utah, which is a heavily, you know, LDS government here. Because the LDS is very close ties with the Boy Scouts. I don't know what the ties are. I just know that there's like a really close affiliation there of some kind. Anyways, they did rename them to the Scouts. And the allegation there is that it's because of all the child rape. Ooh, I see I'm not good at this. How do these people censor themselves and keep their YouTube channels alive? That's what I want to learn. I got to learn it. How can I stop saying the words? All the child SA, huh? All the child SA stuff. And she said that the Trump pew pewer had no silverware in his home. And I looked that up because I was like, well, that's strange. What is that? I didn't hear that either. And as far as I can tell, this came from July 23rd. I found the video on YouTube. It happens at 3 hours and 40 minutes, if you're curious. Look up U.S. House Committee on Homeland Security hearing, July 23rd. The event ID is 117529, and it's examining the assassination attempt of July 13th. And an Arizona congressman from Arizona's 2nd Congressional District asked Colonel Paris, did your team make entry and conduct any investigation of the suspect's home? Paris responded, I believe we had people that participated in securing it, yada, yada, yada. Crane says, did you get any reports of anything fishy? Paris answered, I was briefed on and then Crane asks, was there any silverware found in the home or trash? The PA State Police Commissioner responds, I have nothing in the briefing I was given. Crane added, was it extremely clean, almost like a medical lab? Were you given any of these reports? Paris said, I wasn't given any of those details. Crane concluded this questioning by saying, that's what I'm hearing. Interesting. So, what's the evidence, though, right? The evidence that everyone on X has run with, including apparently Whitney Cummings, is that this Representative Crane from Arizona said, that's what I'm hearing, that there was no silverware in the home. But I don't know what the evidence is. He doesn't say that. He doesn't have a report. There's no testimony, no witnesses. I don't know. So who knows, right? And I'm not saying, I'm not defending the guy. I'm not saying he's got silverware in the home. I'm just saying I don't know where that came from. Because in the age of the internet, falsehoods just get perpetuated like wildfire. So, yeah, anyway, so the pew-pew attempt there, happened. And, you know, the rest was history, right? Trump wins the White House. All the oligarchs are now throwing all their money at him. Musk was doing that from the jump. He gets the cover of Time magazine, bada bing, bada boom. Let's move on to... And look, here's the thing. Am I a Trump guy? Absolutely not. But I do... I'm happy for the people that are. I hope you get all the things you want. The most engaging... So I used to do the top downloaded shows per year. But it didn't really make sense because the problem is... The January, February, March ones get more downloads than the October, November, December ones. So it wasn't really a fair sort of contest. So based off of my subjectiveness, I'm going to tell you the most engaging and favorite episodes of the year. And I'll put the links in the show notes if you haven't heard them. And of course, when I say I put the links in the show notes, if you're on the supporter feeds, I can't do that because you're on the, you're on a RSS custom app. Custom link, and you have to kind of scroll back through the year. Okay, my apologies. Cat Williams interview on Club Shay Shay, that was like the first show of the year, and he basically was dropping conspiracies about how all these truths are going to come out about celebrities and this, that, and the other, and sure enough, that's what happened. The Olympics was full of symbolism. I did one, two, three shows, the opening ceremony, closing ceremony, the mascots, the cult of Mithras, and all that stuff. So the Olympics was illuminated, confirmed. And then the Trump assassination theory, that was a big one. I ended up doing, I think, four shows on this. And in part three, I made a prediction that actually came true. All right. I predicted a statement being made about a golden age, and in Trump's first appearance after the pew-pewing, we had the, and this is the one at the RNC, what do you call it, the Republican National Convention, that had the Freemasonic pyramid with the all-seeing eye on top, right? He, in his speech, if you watch the whole speech, I think it's like an hour, he talks about ushering in the golden age, which if you've read my first book back in 2011, 2012, whatever, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, that was one of the subjects, is how the occultists, the elitists, the Illuminati, they use this terminology about a golden age. Now, is that what he's referencing? I don't know. I don't know. I suspect it is, honestly, but that's just my subjective opinion that no one likes. Because also, Elon tweeted, the next day, tweeted, Novus Ordo Seclorum, and I was like... I don't know how many things, how many trigger words have to be used before people say, man, maybe the fix is in. Maybe, nah, I don't know. Well, it's going to be an interesting year. I'll tell you that much. I don't know if it's going to be, I'm just going to shut up. We'll see what happens. All right. We'll see what happens. Hopefully good things. Look, I want the economy to be on fire too. So if the economy is raging hot, stocks are doing well, unemployment's down, hey, whatever, man. But it did make me think... Anyway, wait a minute here. I got a... don't I have a top... Oh, the predictions. Oh, that. Oh, okay, my bad. I'm looking at the... Okay, so yeah, this is a good time. I had a thought last night. Because I'm such a Bernie bro, right? I'm pretty granola. I'm pretty crunchy, as they say. And I remember back in, like, was it 16 when Bernie was running? And there was a moment during one of his speeches where a bird lands on the podium and, like, it was just a lovely moment, right? Lots of love in the air. It was just a cute moment. And after they even gave him the nickname Birdie Sanders and stuff like that. And then you fast forward 8 years. Or was it 4 years? I think it was 8 years. 8 years. And, the big moment that seemed to sway the election is the pew-pewing. And it's like, it was bloody and it was violent. And he's, you know, it was just two different vibes, right? You had a White Lodge vibe and a Black Lodge vibe. And I don't know. I just think that all the things that Bernie was saying about the oligarchs, I believe him. I believe those conspiracies. And I hope I'm wrong. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before and I'll be wrong again. Which leads me to another big show I did called The Who is Isaac Weishaupt. I did three hours, because I needed you to understand who I am. Not because I'm like, hey, here's where we're different and F you. It's more of, hey, here's where we're the same. And some of my views aren't that radical. And I want you to understand my background and my upbringing and my perspective, so that when you listen to my takes, you can decide, well, that's, you know, I disagree with that because, you know, but I see why he thinks that, but that's wrong because, you know, whatever. So the Who is Isaac Weishaupt show was also a big one. And then I did multiple Diddy shows. Oh, my gosh. Looking at the court documents. Most of those were on the supporter feeds, including the Kim Porter supposed memoir book that I said there's no way that was her writing. And then I did the Fire Walk With Me analysis, which was a massive show for the Twin Peaks Grey Lodge. And the most drama show of the year is anything Twin Peaks Grey Lodge. And that's because people either love it or hate it. And I don't take it offensively when people are like, ugh, more Twin Peaks, shut up. I take that as a compliment that people are like, hey, man, I want your regular stuff, and I miss it. That's how I frame it. And I'll have you know that in the month of January, I'm gonna pump out, I think, 8, 9, 10 episodes of Twin Peaks all in one shot in one day. They're gonna splash across your feed all day long, and if you hate Twin Peaks, you're gonna be like, oh my god, stop it, dude. But I'm here to tell you, you're not gonna see him again. One day of you having to look at the updates and not liking the show, and it's over, and we're done. And the truth be told, in February, I've got the final season 3 wrap-up, final take on the whole thing that'll drop. I'm planning on February 23rd, Twin Peaks Day. It's apropos. But Twin Peaks is done. I've got all of the shows in the can except for the final third season wrap-up, which I'm still working on. It's massive, by the way. And you're going to see that soon. Well, let's get into the schedule of events, shall we? I'm going to release this wrap-up show. The next show, barring any crazy events, the next show is going to be the Kenneth Grant Outside the Circles of Time book review, which is affiliated to Twin Peaks, but I'm not going to talk about Twin Peaks on the show. And this is for anyone who's interested in the occult and aliens. It's actually going to be very fascinating. You're going to hear a lot about the perspectives of why these occultists want to bring aliens through and how the Trinity bomb test tore the veil straight from the source. I got this book. It was like $75. Where is it? You know what it is. Look it up. Kenneth Grant, Outside the Circles of Time. Dense book, dense material, but I took the time to take notes on it for you. So that's going to be probably the next show in the next couple days. Then I'm going to do this massive Twin Peaks dump. So we're talking by, I don't know, January 10th, maybe, hopefully. The first 2 weeks. Give me to January 14th. I'm going to drop 8, 9, 10 episodes of Twin Peaks, and that's completely done. Except for the season 3 wrap-up, which I'll do on Twin Peaks Day, February 23rd. Okay? The other shows that I'm working on, and in no particular order, I don't know when I'll release them. I was going to do a Jamie Foxx recap of this stupid Netflix stand-up he did. I'm on the fence about it. I don't think anyone cares. I don't care. But it's important in the sense of the Diddy thing. I'll probably do it. Then I'm working on a Heretic film analysis. That's a two-parter. That's going to be big. And I'm probably going to have a special guest on for the part two. I'll have to explain that when we get there. And then I'm doing a Catcher in the Rye two-parter as well, where we're going to go through the whole book, Catcher in the Rye. And I'll explain a lot of crazy ideas that I had by reading it. That's January, barring any new crazy events, which traditionally January's that happens. Let's see here. What else do we got? But yeah, the most popular episodes were the Great Eclipse Show in April. I interviewed longtime friend Dr. Anteater. That was a popular one. Yeah, lots of stuff. I'll put links in the show notes. You can check them out. I guessed it on a ton of shows. And well, let me first thank all the people that came onto my show this year, okay? I hope I got them all here. Jordan from Wind & Sea Coffee, the greatest coffee. And look, I don't say that as an ad or even as a friend. I mean it. I buy the, I should know, Punta Roca, I think it's called. And it's spectacular. When I run out and I have to go to the store to buy the crap coffee, I'm always disappointed with it and I hate it. And I'm like, ugh, I need to get more of that Wind and Sea coffee. But Jordan joined us to talk about John Dee. That was a great show. Scott Ryan, the Twin Peaks expert, which he's got a new book coming out. If you're into Twin Peaks, make sure you get his new book about the sounds of Twin Peaks. It's about the music. He came on to talk Fire Walk with me in Twin Peaks. We had a classic longtime guest, Jay Dyer, on with a host of information. As always, Dune, Disinformation, Cat Williams. We had comic legend, comic book legend Michael Oeming talking Project Monarch, and he let us know the real story about that Art Bell Area 51 caller, the clip that was making the rounds on social media about a guy talking about how he saw aliens. We had one-on-one podcasts, Juan Ayala talking about the occult, of course, that's his jam. Then we had some financial shows, because I'm like, everyone's got to get right. James McMahon, of course, on to talk cryptos, and Billy Peterson to talk stocks and finances. Dr. Andinger, of course, one of the most requested re-guest appearance, so be sure to know that Dr. Andinger is making another appearance on this show. And then, most recently, I got to interview the legend Jay Widener himself, one of the guys motivated me into doing this whole field of research. Him and director Ryder Lee came on to talk A Clockwork Shining, Kubrick's Odyssey 3. I actually just watched their JFK documentary. It's on Amazon Prime right now. Holy moly. I don't want to spoil nothing, but they present a wild theory that I think, I don't know, maybe that one's right. And then I did a slew of appearances. I was hard at work this year. The Confessionals, which one of my favorite collaborations. We did. We talked about the Miami Mall with the Nephilim aliens. And then I recently did the Confessionals with Joel Thomas hosting to talk the history of aliens from the Enochian perspective. That show is a banger. You got to listen to that. Let me put the link in the show notes to that. I can't put links to everything. You're going to be like, dude, there's 1,000 links in these notes. But I'm going to put that. That one's really good. The Enochian download one. Whew, that was good. And I'm going to have those guys. I'm going to have Tony and Joel doing my show here. Stand by for information on that. They came to Salt Lake City. And we filmed to talk about LDS occult stuff. I don't want to give out too much information. And Aleister Crowley, of course, because they have this insane documentary about Aleister Crowley and aliens. And that I can't wait to see the finished product. They told me about some stuff. I wish I could share it with you, but I cannot kiss and tell. All I can say is it's going to be good. So, yeah, look out for that. And I don't know what your guys' status with me is. Follow me on the socials. Sign up for my free email newsletter on Illuminatiwatcher.com. Because I generally blast one notice on everything I do. I just give it one notice. I don't generally... Some people I talk to are like, dude, you got to put out more notices. People don't see it all. They're overwhelmed with information. You got to like hit them up with three different reminders, right? So I might start doing that, but not on the email. I don't want to load up your email inbox. If you want any links for any of this stuff, allmylinks.com/IsaacW. Sign up for the free email newsletter. I'll give you a copy of A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory for free. If you sign up for my free email newsletter at IlluminatiWatcher.com. Okay. And I'll give you updates on the documentary when it comes out. I did Quite Frankly TV. We talked cancel culture and July 16th timeline disturbances. I need to get him on my show as well. He's got a lot of great information I need to get out of him for you guys. Higher Side Chats, one of my favorites, of course. My second interview ever. My first one was a Frame of Fly on the Free Zone back in, I don't know, 2012 or 13. My second one was with Greg Carlwood on Higher Side Chats, which I was grossly underprepared for. He goes so deep. There's no Buffalo and Greg Carlwood. Let me tell you, when you do Higher Side Chats, you better come correct. All right. I remember when I did it, I had sticky notes all over my desk. I had dozens of them everywhere. Anyway, I did Higher Side Chats again. We talked Diddy, Intel, and Hollywood. I did the Donna and Paranoid American Kickstarter show. I'm also a contributing member of the Kickstarter. They got the Illuminati comic, and I can't wait to get my greedy little hands on it. Did a three-parter with Jamie Hanshaw on her YouTube about aliens, culminating with part three, Alien Jeopardy, which was, and I'm not making this up, probably my favorite appearance I've ever made. It was so fun. I had such a good time. It was just a different, really outside the box thinking about that show that I thought, man, I wish it was always this fun, because sometimes it's like, it's my fault. I get anxious. I get stressed out. But that one was real chill. I liked it. Did Shane Cashman's Inverted World Live. Fun fact, we went live on that. And he's the one, he said the name Bob. We were talking Twin Peaks, and he said the name Bob, and it crashed out the whole thing, and we had to redo it. But he told me he would do my show. I'm going to get him on here. The dudes rub shoulders with Kanye West and Tim Pool and like A-list celebrity folks, right? I also got the privilege of hooking up with House and Habit again with Emily. We talked Diddy Adrenochrome. We got a new one coming out here hopefully soon on Ashton Kutcher. I mean, when you get the opportunity to hook up with House and Habit or Emily, like that's a no-brainer for me, right? The no-brainers that I will always make time for are House and Habit, Tinfoil Hat, and Coast to Coast AM, and Richard Sirrett. Then I was on a YouTube called End of Days Q&As, an AI episode that I posted a link when we talked about that. Did Billy Peterson's Harnessing Your Wealth show, where we talked about conspiracy basics for the normies, right? Did Counterflow with Buck Johnson, my Orthodox brother over there. Coast to Coast in April, shout out Richard Sirrett hooking me up, getting me on Coast to Coast in April again for my second appearance. I loved it. And then, you know, Strange Planet, his podcast. He's one of the goats for sure. We linked up twice. We talked about the Brits, and then we talked about Satanism and pop culture. Then I did ESPN 680 with James Strebel. That's another fun show. One of my favorites too, because it's easy going, right? My family thinks I'm crazy with Mark back in April. And last but definitely not least, I did my 16th appearance on Tinfoil Hat. Shout out to Sam Tripoli and the fellas. One of my favorite shows to do. All right, man, I feel like I'm talking about me this whole time. I don't like that. Big moves. Let's talk. We just keep talking about me. Big moves. I did a ton of appearances, trying to drum up a lot of interest. I got a couple more in the tank for 2025 that I'm waiting to be released. So more on that to come, like I implied earlier. But, you know, the biggest move for me was it's one of my personal highs. So stay tuned. We're going to hit that in a minute. I made a big move this year, and it was one of my favorite experiences ever. But the biggest moves of the year goes to Sam Tripoli. That's right, Sammy T. My man made the biggest moves on the planet. Joe Rogan's show, Roseanne Barr, that Ninja Butterfly show. I mean, he was absolutely crushing it. So I was like, I can't even compete with that. So shout out Sammy T. Crushing it. Then, okay, let's talk films now. Real quick, my favorite films of the year. And these aren't all like released this year. This is just the first time I've watched them. My favorite movies, should I count them down? I mean, it's hard to count them down. Ugh, I don't think I can, because they're all kind of super fun. Yeah, I don't think I can count them down. Sorry. I like a countdown, but I don't know. Anyway, the Dune Part 2 came out. Loved that. Absolutely obsessed with Dune. I'm going to start watching the show here soon on HBO. There's this old movie called Arabella Black Angel. Great movie. But it's only for a certain type of audience, so you might not like it. I watched the 28 Days Later and the 28 Weeks Later movies, the zombie movies, because there's a new one coming out next year. And I loved them. Back when they came out, I hated them. I only watched the first one. I didn't even watch 28 Weeks Later. I watched 28 Days Later, and I hated it. Josie could tell you. She can testify to this. I was watching it by myself, and I was in bed getting ready to go to sleep or whatever, and I finished it. I was so mad. I came storming out my little panties. I was like, what the hell? This movie was trash. Everyone said this is a great zombie movie. This movie's trash. I hate it. I want slow zombies. And boy, I was wrong. That was a bad take from me, because I watched them again. I was like, these are great movies. Even the sequel, which people hated, I was like, that's a great movie too. So I look forward to the third one. I watched Immaculate with Sydney Sweeney about the nun. Zero expectations. I never even seen the trailer. And very heretical, but very brutal. My goodness, I wasn't expecting that. This one's going to shock you. I watched New Nightmare, the Freddy movie. Yeah, from, what, like 91 or 94 or whatever. You won't, for Nightmare on Elm Street being my favorite movie, my favorite horror movie, the fact that I'd never seen New Nightmare is kind of shocking to me. But it was the first time I watched it, and it was fantastic. Because at that point in the franchise, I was like, these are getting bad. And I gave up, and I had no interest. But I watched it, and I was like, that's really good. And in fact, I ranked the Nightmare movies on my Letterboxd at Isaac Weishaupt. You like film reviews and good times? Go check me out on Letterboxd. Blink Twice with Channing Tatum. That was great. Heretic was great. I watched The Omen for the first time. I know. Terrible horror movie junkie. Terrible. It's the first time I've seen The Omen from the 70s. Because I would always turn it on and I'd fall asleep in like 20 minutes. And I finished. I was like, dude, that was so good. I watched the next two or three of them. Babylon, the one with Margot Robbie and Brad Pitt. Outstanding movie. That might be my favorite one of the year that I watched. Of course, it came out last year, but I didn't watch it till this year. I was like, bro, this movie was great. And for no particular reason, I don't know why. It just was entertaining to me. And the one that's probably going to surprise you the most, Deadpool and Wolverine. I absolutely loved it. Great movie. It's right up there near the top with Babylon. Yeah, great movie. Now, let's talk about the ones I hated. There's only four of them. The one that's going to surprise you the most is It Follows. People for years have been telling me to watch this movie. It's always ranked as like the top horror movie. I remember trying to watch this years ago. I made it 30 minutes and was like, this is stupid. This is like MTV BS teeny bopper crap. Well, I finally finished it this year, and I was right. I was right to turn it off at 30 minutes. It was crap. I don't know. This is like, I can tell how old you are by if you think that's a great movie or not sometimes. Same with that Trick or Treat movie. Like, those movies are trash. This is teeny bopper trash. Miss me with that BS. I hated it. I also hated the original Mad Max. Those movies, strangely enough, get better as they go on. The third one is significantly better than the second one, which is significantly better than the first one. But the first two are throwaways, in my opinion. The first one was terrible. I was like, this is garbage. No offense to my Australians out there. Cool B. What up? Then the Jamie Foxx special on Netflix. That dude is so corny. I mean, I liked him in the movies and Ray or whatever, but this guy is about as corny as a dude can be. And he's trying to distance himself from Diddy so hard. Oh my gosh. I was like, this is so lame. That was the worst stand-up special I've seen, and I watch a lot of those. Nowhere near as good as Sam Tripoli's stand-up, which you can check out now. Go to samtripoli.com. And then finally, the biggest disappointment for me was Civil War. I like Alex Garland. I like the idea of a movie about Civil War. It was false advertising. It was trash simply because it's such an interesting subject matter and you find a way to make it boring as hell. What are we doing? So that movie was trash. Follow me on Letterboxd. celebrity deaths. We got a lot of them. Carl Weathers from, what was he in, Predator? Is it Predator? Yeah, Predator. Carl Weathers from Predator and Rocky. Damn. Toby Keith. I couldn't name one Toby Keith song, but I know he's a country guy. Eric Carmen. He made some great music in the 80s. O.J. Simpson finally dead. I feel like he's been dead 10 times by now. Yeah, he finally got his. Richard Lewis. Don't know much about him either. Morgan Spurlock died. The dude from the, what'd he do? He ate McDonald's for a month straight. Donald Sutherland died. He's in a bunch of great movies. Shannon Doherty from 90210. Crazy. She was only 53. Richard Simmons. Oh, man. Richard Simmons was an icon in the 80s and 90s. Them little thought shorts. You know, he had them dad shorts. You know, one of them balls might fall out. You didn't know. You know, you're about to be scarred. Those shorts were popping in the 80s. Bob Newhart, Phil Donahue. Phil Donahue was 88. I had no idea he was that old. Dr. Ruth, 96. James Earl Jones, that was Darth Vader. He's dead. Pete Rose, Gene Wilder. Just kidding. I'm just seeing if you're paying attention. Gene Wilder died in 2016. Kind of like O.J. Simpson is one of those people that I think, like, I thought he died last year already. No, he died in 2016. Sad. Great Christmas movie. The Willy Wonka movies. Fun fact, he died while listening to Over the Rainbow. The disassociation song, the Eyes Wide Shut thing. Yeah, crazy. Liam Payne, which we did a show about. Quincy Jones, which we did a show about. Ricky Henderson, from the Oakland A's. That is 65 and pneumonia. That's crazy. An athlete. Just goes to show, man. Sometimes the Grim Reaper gets you. And then Eminem's mom, Debbie Mathers. Personal highs and lows. This is a fun part of the show. My Twin Peaks tattoo sleeve almost done. My full transformation into white trash is almost complete. And Twin Peaks, of course, you know, one of the biggest things in my life right now. Ray Wise followed me. I don't know if he still followed me, but he followed me back on Instagram. I was, glazing him pretty good because he's a funny dude. You should follow him on Instagram. Kyle MacLachlan liked a comment that I made. I got a tile from Mary Reber. From she might have a couple more. She was selling a bunch. I was like, I'm buying one. I got one of those tiles from her bathroom from the Fire Walk With Me. Hit her up. I think she has a couple left. You just have to message her on social media. Tell her Isaac sent you. I want to get in her good graces, all right? So she can have me back out in her home for another interview. That's what I want. A couple of cool little interactions there with some celebs. Twin Peaks, big part of my year, of course. I saw a UFO a couple of weeks, I think. Wasn't a big spiritual event. I looked up in the sky because I take my dogs out at night. And I just look up at the sky because I'm waiting for them because they screw around. And I saw two lights. I can't really tell. It was so far away up in the sky. Looked like they were maybe 20 to 40 feet apart. And they appeared and disappeared like a meteor almost. I was like, I just saw a UFO. This is during the height of the drone thing. CrossFit, of course. I benched 300 pounds, a goal of mine for many, many years. I got it up once. Got to do coast to coast, of course. That always hits good for me. Got to see Austin, Texas with my close friend, Dr. Anteater. I do a show with my wife called Breaking Social Norms. Very controversial. Some of you love it. Some of you hate it. Because it's very raunchy and we both are very comfortable, and that's what the show is about, talking trash. And we did an episode about Austin, Texas, and you should listen to it. I'll put a link in the show notes. And we did a one on, like, we'll do conspiracy talk, we'll do personal life talk, or we'll do relationship talk. So depends on what week you tune in as to what you get. And this the one week we did a show where we talked about Austin, Texas, and it was pretty funny because a homeless guy lunged at me and I lost my toenail. It's crazy. Anyway, we got skunked on the eclipse though, which was a bummer, but I got to hang out with Dr. Anteater and we went to the Crowley exhibit at the library at the Harry Ransom Center, which I've got to do a show about that, about my experience with that. Life gets busy, right? I've been to a Buc-ee's. Oh, man. And Austin was the home of the $8 drip coffee. Why I say you want to join the Patreon, it's less than a cup of coffee in Austin. Which, but check out Breaking Social Norms if you're into any of that stuff. And if you're not too easily offended, some people get very triggered by it. I still to this day get comments of like, your wife's got a potty mouth. Like, yeah, I know. So do I. And it's fine. People say, oh, I don't know how you guys say you're Christian. Easy. I say I'm Christian and then I swear sometimes. I'm not endorsing it. I'm not saying you should swear too and it's the greatest thing ever. It's just what it is, man. But Breaking Social Norms splashed the top 100 relationships episodes category, which was great, you know. Let's see. My favorite moment of the year, my favorite personal high, the Las Vegas lecture. That's right. That was the big move for me. I took weeks memorizing. I did a TED talk about Eyes Wide Shut. It was an hour and change, and I was very nervous about it. I've given presentations before many times. I've done Toastmasters for a year, and so it's not like my first rodeo, but it's still nerve-wracking. And I got to meet so many great people down there. I got to meet longtime listeners and friends. I consider them friends. Cheryl, Skinny Fresh, shout out. And a bunch of people, right? I don't want to just limit because there was a bunch of people that came out that Infinite Consciousness. I had people from Texas and Alabama and traveled. And that's very humbling, right? And of course, I got to meet Jay Dyer, Jamie Hanshaw, Jim Bob. We all did lectures up there. So, yeah, I mean, it was just an amazing connective experience for me to connect with the community. I definitely am going to do it again, probably in Salt Lake City. I don't know when. Life gets very challenging for me. Which, and by the way, shout out to everyone who sent me stuff this year. People mailed me stuff. Cheryl got me these cool Twin Peaks coasters. Blunt Letters Show sent me a bunch of cool stuff. Mario. You know what? Mario. I found out why I say it wrong, because I'm from the East Coast and we say it differently. Mario, I think. Am I saying it right? Anyway, Mario sent me this Raiders jersey. Shout out Raider Nation. We're coming in strong at the end of the season. Ruining our draft picks, but hey, we're winning. So yeah, the Las Vegas lecture was a huge moment for me. I had my doubts and reservations about it because of how much time it took to do. It was, I had to travel all the way down there. It cost a ton of money, and I was like, man, this is a waste of my time. But then it was humbling, and it was like, you know what? It's not all about me. Sometimes it's not all about how much time it takes for me to do things. Sometimes it's nice to just meet people that talking to the abyss for years, and there's real human beings that are really cool on the other side of this. So, man, it really was a top memory of my life type thing. You know what I mean? Now let's get to the lows. Twitter got the best of me. I left, but I'm already back. Just that quick. So I tried to leave out of distaste for the management of it, but hey, I'm back. What can I say? YouTube torched again. I was working my way back up. I was up to 25,000 subs, and I was like, here we go. Because here's the thing. On the business side of show business, you got to keep growing your audience. And the problem with that is it's very difficult to do. YouTube is the place to be discovered. That's where you get lots of new subscribers. But when they keep torching your channels, they make it impossible, and that's what they want. So So if you ever want to help out the show above and beyond, you know, there's many options. You can sign for the supporter feed. You can leave a 5-star review, or you can share an episode with a friend. Be like, hey, check out this guy. You're going to like some of his stuff. I had a colonoscopy. I'm 45. Good news. All clear. But not very fun. Also, we had a whole trip planned to Tampa, and literally the day before we had to get on the plane was when the once in 100-year storm hit and blew it off the map. What else happened? I was trying to secure an interview with Sherilyn Fenn for the Twin Peaks stuff, and she messaged me back. I said, hey, you got some cool conspiracy stuff. I think you'd be a great guest. And she's like, yeah, let me get back to you. And then weeks later, she blocked me. Someone on my Patreon there had made contact with her, and actually, I guess she wrote back to this person and said that she thought I was kind of, I don't know, being combative about conspiracies. And I was like, no, that's not me. So I don't know if someone can make that happen. She still hasn't unblocked me. So that's what I want for Christmas next year, is to have her unblock me, at least. She doesn't have to do the show. Just unblock me, please. It's hurting my feelings. And then the worst one, we lost our little jelly bean on Valentine's Day. So that was nice and traumatic. our chihuahua we had for so many years. So, some rough patches in 24. Now, final part of the show, predictions. I don't do resolutions on this show. That's why I do those on Breaking Social Norms. So you want to hear if we held our 2023 resolutions? That's the place to do it. We're gonna do a 24 wrap-up show probably next week. So be on the lookout for that. Now, let's talk about the predictions I made in 2023 to see if they came true. All right? Predictions I made. I said Diddy is not going to have a good year. Verdict? Absolutely right. I was on the money with that. But to be fair, I kind of saw the writing was on the wall. I think it'd be pretty stupid to think that he wasn't going to be getting in trouble. But he did, in fact, get in trouble. So I'm counting it. One for one. I said that the Epstein list of co-conspirators that was being advertised all over the place was never going to come out. I was wrong. One for two. It released on January 4th, and this was part of the Virginia Giuffre defamation lawsuit against Maxwell. But it didn't have a lot of new stuff besides like David Copperfield and Stephen Hawking. Those were kind of interesting. Let's see what else. I got some notes here, but that gets a little too political. We're not going to get into that. The Dershowitz lawyer name popped up. And we'll just say that Dershowitz's name pops up with a lot of other people, too. Then, let's see. Then a second list of names dropped. Let's see. Copperfield. Whatever. Okay, next prediction I made was that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce were not going to work out. Wrong again. One for three. They're doing great. The showmance is doing great. I almost had that one come true because there was an alleged contract of how they were going to handle the fallout for Kelce in September, but that turned out to be fake news, apparently. I don't know. We'll see. Then UFOs. On the money. 2 for 4. 50%. Not a bad run. I said that UFOs were going to start heating up. And again, you could put that in with the Diddy one. You'd be kind of stupid not to think that was going to be a thing. But hey, we're counting it. And I told you 2025 was going to be the year of full disclosure. So you already know where next year's predictions are coming through here. But we had tons of congressional hearings, lots of allegations, no real evidence, drones in the skies that no one knows anything about, UFOs underwater, which was Bill Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse experience. Crazy stuff. So not bad. 2 for 4. Let's make some predictions for next year, and then we're going to wrap it up. We're done. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 5 of them, okay? First one. Diddy's going to be a bad boy. And again, you'd be kind of stupid not to see this coming, but I'm counting it, all right? Jay-Z got named, and then the accuser was like, well, wait a minute, maybe I don't know all the details. I think I think that Jay-Z is going to be facing some real scrutiny and maybe even get arrested. That's what I think. So the Diddy thing, of course, is going to get worse, and I think there's some other celebrities that are going down. Recall Kanye West said Diddy was a fed, and I'm surprised he's still alive, to be honest. I should go out on a limb and say that he's not going to make it through the end of the year. I think it depends on if word gets out that he's telling stories, you know what I mean? TikTok, what about that? So my prediction is that Diddy and some other celebrities are going down. Jay-Z is one of them. TikTok drama. I actually think it will not be banned. There's way too much propaganda, too much surveillance in that app. The potential for, I should say. I think that they're going to be made an offer they can't refuse. So I don't think TikTok's going anywhere besides in the hands of new oligarchs. Luigi Mangione. I don't think that he's actually the guy. However, his family's connections have a lot of strange connections into the whole thing. I'm not really sure what to think about that, but I do think that this is going to be a catalyst for gun control, right? And you probably say, wow, that's a terrible prediction, Isaac, because the Republicans, who are traditionally very pro-gun, and the left is pro-gun too, by the way, but not as much as the right. The right, the Republicans, are going to own all three branches of government and arguably the Supreme Court. How could that possibly happen? Well, I think that if it does happen, I predict there will be some gun control based upon this kind of violence. And that would be the most alarming thing I would ever see. I hope it doesn't come true, but that's my prediction, is that that's going to happen. And I think if you see the right pushing gun control, because look, if the right pushes it, the conservatives will find an excuse. They'll be like, oh yeah, well, it's okay because our team's doing it. All of a sudden, it's going to be okay. Also, now Alex Jones is like, well, they have to do it because of some reason, right? And this is just me postulating. I have no particular reason to believe it besides a feeling, a gut feel. You know, because the right was going for gun control back when the Black Panthers were threatening. So, I think that's what's going to happen this year. Then, daylight savings time. I don't think it's going to change. You know, Trump's talking about... He's talking about... Oh, sorry, the suburban blocks are hot. We did a whole show on daylight savings time, and I told you how this was a corporate capitalist agenda. And Trump is out there saying, oh, we're going to get rid of daylight savings time, which is actually kind of an erroneous statement. You mean we're going to keep daylight savings time, but whatever. You know what I mean? They're going to change that. And there's just, there's no way. I don't think politicians are going to get away from all the lobbying and corporate capitalist interest of daylight savings. So I don't think that's going anywhere either. Finally, UFO disclosure. Number one on my list of predictions. I wrote about this in the Dark Path 6-7 years ago. Predicted specifically 2025 based on statements made by NASA and a bunch of other various elements. Allegedly, NASA is part of that drone technology in New Jersey, by the way. And I think that we're going to get some real deep cuts on disclosure. The Economist magazine had the World 2025 magazine cover. It showed an all-seeing eye, and it showed the planet Saturn at the top center, which is what makes me think all of this occult stuff is going to be advancing at higher rates than normal. Combined with the ideas that how we're being told that this is the golden age, right? And I talked about, again, in a grand unified conspiracy theory, I was like, this is the golden age for the elites, for the technocrats, not for us. Because they subscribe to an Aleister Crowley, the slave shall serve. And that's where we're headed, I think. Not to sound too doomy and gloomy, I hope I'm wrong. Look, I'm wrong all the time. Half of my predictions that I made were wrong. The half I got right were ones that any idiot could have made. So fret not, my friends. I'm probably wrong. But editor Tom Standage wrote this piece on November 18th about the top 10 themes to watch in 2025. And he said, it seems appropriate that 2025 has been designated the year of quantum science and technology by the United Nations. Now, this hosts a whole bunch of conspiracies we don't have time to get into. You know, with Alice Bailey, United Nations, Illuminate confirm, up, down, left, right, the alien agenda is going to be part of it. And David Grush, the whistleblower, told us that there's a quantum aspect to the UAP phenomenon of aliens. They're interdimensional. That's what they're going to reveal this year. Funny enough, number 10 on the list of that The Economist World Ahead is A Life of Surprises, with assassination attempts, exploding walkie-talkies, and giant rockets being captured by chopsticks. One lesson of 2024 was expect the unbelievable. What implausible-sounding things could happen in 25? Our wildcard section offers a selection to watch out for, including a devastating solar storm, the discovery of lost ancient texts, and even another global pandemic. Oh, dear. I hope that none of that happens. But I think it's interesting that they chose the discovery of lost ancient texts. Why? Because if you read my first alien book, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, we talked about Project Bluebeam. And one of the components claimed by Serge Manast back in the 90s about Project Bluebeam was that they were going to discover lost ancient texts that reframed the history of our world. So, in conclusion, 2025 is going to be the year of aliens. And all the other predictions I made, there's five of them there. Stay subscribed to the show because you're not going to know until next year if these all get proven true. Okay? Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the show for so many years. This is my 11th year now of podcasting. And for those of you that are tired of seeing Twin Peaks pop across your app, good news. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to have one final flurry of Twin Peaks, and then we're done. And you can be like, oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness I'm tired of seeing it. It makes me mad to see it. Well, it's not going to bug you anymore because you're not going to see it. And for those of you that are into Twin Peaks, I've got more coming because I'm going to start working on the book. I've got all my notes. I got to whittle this thing down. It's way too much. Or maybe I won't. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But I'm planning on writing the book. And then at some point, I don't know if I'm going to like put the Twin Peaks Grey Lodge series for sale on my Gumroad store, or when I release the book, I might put it on its own podcast feed for free. I don't know, but it's going to take me a year or two to get that done. That's a lot of work. So, stick around for updates. And like I said, go to allmylinks.com/IsaacW and make sure you're following me on all the socials. And my free email newsletter, which if you go sign up today, you're going to get that Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory PDF, where you can read all about the Golden Age. Something I was talking about 12 years ago, because that's apparently where we're headed. I'll put links in the show notes for all kinds of crap. Thank you for listening to the show. Till next time, stay positive.